So, my friends, it's looking like this Los Angeles job may be happening. So far, so good. So, Sunnyvale, you roughed me up a little bit, but you didn't win. And jokes aside, I really hold no ill will towards Sunnyvale. Aside from the extremely poorly timed traffic lights, I mean, it's a good town if you have a family. It's safe, it's quiet, it's pretty enough, but it's just not the place for me. And this will be like the seventh or eighth time I've moved in the last 8 years or so. So yeah, this will be it. And we never know how our movie will turn out. But one thing I have painfully learned over the years is while it's pretty easy to change your location, it's really hard to change your lead character with his flaws, anxieties, and desires. It's kind of like same guy, different town. But I think I and you too are probably always working on ourselves to better ourselves, to try and be more optimistic, to be hopeful. There's zero point in giving up. We have some wins, we have some losses, but you keep moving forward and you try to make the best of it. As Mr. Sunshine himself, the Chicago Cubs slugger Ernie Banks, once said, the only way to prove that you're a good sport is to lose. You know, we all lose sometimes and we learn from it. But don't ask my friend Hornbeck about me being a good sport because I'm the worst. When we go bowling, I get so angry if he wins. It only lasts for like 10 minutes, but, oh God, I can be terrible, but I am working on it. And one other quote that I absolutely love is this piece of wisdom from the one and only Muhammad Ali. It's hard to beat a guy when he's got his mind made up that he's going to win.
You are my density. You are my density.
So since I will be losing my health insurance likely for a little bit, I finally decided to go to the eye doctor. And why do optometrists live for so long? Because they die late. Dilate. Get it? Anyway, more on dilating in a second. But anyway, it looks like my eyes are under pressure. My apologies to David Bowie and Queen. Yes, I am under pressure, and my eyes are too, of course. Wouldn't you know it? Glaucoma runs in my family. Thanks, Mom and Dad. Just kidding. It's not their fault. I blame my great-grandfather on my dad's side. He did it. He came from Italy carrying only a satchel full of gnocchi and glaucoma. But really, glaucoma will fuck you up if you don't treat it. You can lose your sight. And while I don't have glaucoma right now per se, my pressure is pretty damn high, so I will start taking these drops nightly. No big deal, just another supplement to add to my daily arsenal. So get your eyes examined once in a while. The doctor told me the drops may slightly darken my eye color over time, and it may make my eyelashes grow faster. So I asked her if I could put the drops on my head. She laughed. But don't you hate getting your eyes dilated? I mean, it takes forever for that to wear off. And when you leave the doctor's office into the daylights, you literally feel like a vampire, like the light hurts. Oh, well, the future's so bright, I gotta wear shades. Which was a song by that band Timbuk3 from 1986. And the future's so bright video was just a staple on MTV. Check out the video. And a little piece of trivia for your back pocket, which I may have mentioned before. The first video on MTV just after midnight on August 1st, 1981 was the song Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles. I mean, how appropriate. And what a great little song. I grew up on MTV. Jesus, I will never forget the Kurt Loder updates on Kurt Cobain's death. I mean, that was like the death of Elvis Presley or something. Though Kurt Cobain's death was by his own hands. Elvis's death was by food, drugs, and excess. Anyway, here's a little bit of Video Killed the Radio Star. I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake intent to tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through. I met your children. What did you tell them? Video killed the radio star. Video killed the radio star. In my mind and in my car. We can't rewind, we've gone too far. Pictures came and broke your heart. Put the blame on VCR. God, I miss VHS tapes. And anyway, back to my great-grandfather. He did come from Italy. He had like 15 kids. Not really, but a lot. And we have this classic photo of him and my great-grandmother and all of the kids. And the dude is like so Don Vito Corleone from The Godfather. It's ridiculous. Speaking of the movie The Godfather, Robert Duvall played Tom Hagen, who is the lawyer and consigliere which is basically an advisor to the leader who represents the boss in important meetings. The Tom Hagen character is of Irish-German origin. He's the adoptive son of Vito Corleone. So while he had Vito Corleone's ear, ultimately in the film, he was an Italian, and he got booted eventually, and later reinstated, but that's another story. But yeah, the Tom Hagen character was loyal, rational, and not a true gangster at heart. So when Michael Corleone, played by Al Pacino, is about to really shake things up, he basically demotes Tom Hagen by saying, "You're not a wartime consigliere, Tom. Things may get rough with the move we're trying." I mean, wartime consigliere is like one of my favorite phrases of all time. And we all need a wartime consigliere at some point, that trusted friend or advisor when the shit is about to hit the fan. So as we all know, man, it's hard to find a partner these days. And sometimes when you do find someone, you find out, maybe this person is like not right, or they don't seem to like me enough, or something weird is going on. So I read an article about some lovesick people in Brazil who are turning to witchcraft to help keep a spouse from cheating or bring back one who left. This may involve wrapping frogs in underwear or dipping a chicken's feet in honey, which kind of sounds like something Taco Bell might have. It's the Honey Chicken Foot Chalupa, available now. But it turns out sometimes these spells can backfire. And one woman who was concerned her husband was cheating on her said after consulting a witch, her partner became too clingy. The woman is quoted as saying, "My life became hell on earth." And her partner would like follow her around the house all day. She said, "He wouldn't leave me alone. It was crazy." And this woman eventually paid another witch $50 to break the spell. I guess Brazil has religions with African roots that rely on magic, along with some Catholic beliefs from the country's Portuguese colonizers. One of the sorcerers goes by the incredible name of Father Rafael the Slick One from the favela. Jesus, that's good. And favelas are like those poorest settlements in Rio. So blame it on Rio, I guess. One spell described someone who wanted a noisy neighbor to leave, and so the witch had them start throwing dirt from a nearby cemetery on the unwanted neighbor's house. Oh God, what a creepy detail. Dirt from a cemetery. And while I'm not quite to the point where I will use witchcraft to find a partner, I'm open to it. But I wouldn't get into like any deadly curses on my enemies. There's always payback when you do shit like that. And speaking of witchcraft, there was a lousy horror movie from 1988 called Witchcraft. I saw it so long ago, but I do remember it sucking. And get this, there are a total of 16 witchcraft movies, including the original and its sequels. I maybe watched Witchcraft 2, I don't really remember, but fun trivia for you, the Witchcraft movies have the most sequels of any horror movie. I'm not sure how or why, but hey, what do I know? Okay, possibly great or terrible band name. And you know, I'd rather something be the best or the worst. Who wants something just okay or lukewarm? So get ready for the seminal, pardon the pun, band, The Nighttime Erections. And I know you are like, at this point in the year 2025, how has no one called a band The Nighttime Erections? Well, they haven't. I can't believe it either. So check out The Nighttime Erections' debut album, Rock Solid, with the songs Woke Up With a Heart On, Sad Sack, and Goodbye Yellow Dick Road. Oh, please, Elton John, forgive me for that last one. Okay, well, to be honest, I'm pretty stressed these days with the probable new job on the horizon and yet another move and another upheaval. Even though my desire has always been to get back to Los Angeles to settle, you, or I more specifically, always underestimate the impact of moving. And it's just me. It's not like a big move. I mean, I'll shit can my couch, shit can that awful TV I bought like a year ago to replace that better TV that I had fucked up. Yeah, I destroyed that one while recording this podcast. I got up abruptly and I knocked over the TV tray, which I kept my microphone on. And somehow that tray perfectly smashed into the TV and broke the screen. And I've lost track of my podcast episodes, but the Eric Roberts episode will always be imprinted in my shrinking brain because that was the week that I broke the goddamn TV. But I really just found out about the job recently, so some stress is expected, so I'm not beating myself up too badly about it. I usually stress over illegitimate things. At least this is legit. And the famous Hungarian and Canadian endocrinologist, which no one ever said before, Mr. Hans Selye, came up with a model describing how the body responds to stress. Number one, alarm, basically fight or flight. Number two, resistance, or recovery. And finally, number three, exhaustion. I'm still in the alarm phase. Resistance is to come. And let's hope I can manage the stress so I don't get into the exhaustion phase. Okay, there's a new sci-fi, kind of romance-y movie on Apple TV called The Gorge. And gorge is such a weird word. It's one of those words that kind of sounds like what the word means itself. Gorge. That's what I imagine a gorge would sound like. Does that make sense? Maybe not. Anyway, The Gorge is directed by Scott Derrickson, who did the fairly good horror movies Sinister from 2012 and The Black Phone from 2021, both starring Ethan Hawke. And later this year, it's, yep, you guessed it, The Black Phone 2. Because if something is moderately successful these days, of course Hollywood will make a sequel until the idea wears out its welcome, which we are all nearing with all the Marvel movies. But anyway, The Gorge stars Miles Teller, who I honestly never liked, but he's not bad in this movie. And Anya Taylor-Joy, who is a little too cute by half, or twee, or I can't really describe it, but there's something phony about her. She's a good actress, but I can always kind of tell she's acting, if that makes any sense. It's about two sharpshooters who are in guard towers on opposite sides of this vast gorge, and they're not to contact each other. They're only there to protect the world from these mysterious evil forces that are within the gorge. So they kind of meet cute through their binoculars and hold up signs communicating with one another, and eventually he finds a way to get to her, and they start fucking. Well, it's implied anyway. This is only a PG-13 movie. So first off, the plot is, you know, it's kind of interesting, or at least the idea is good. It's well shot, the effects are good enough, but alas, the movie is way too long and kind of takes itself too seriously. I mean, within this 2-hour and 7-minute movie with delusions of grandeur is a scrappy, fun 90-minute B-movie, Osei, directed by prime Paul Verhoeven. The Gorge is watchable, but it's bloated and kind of meanders its way around. Definitely worth a watch if it sounds interesting to you, but it took me a few days to get through it. Sigourney Weaver has a small role as the corporate henchman villain. But The Gorge is one of those high-concept movies, which means it's a clear, easy-to-understand premise with like a good hook, something easy to pitch, something easy to market. And when I first heard high-concept, in my head, I thought it meant like complicated or elevated, which is exactly the opposite of high concept. Oh, well, we love irony, don't we? So other high concept movies would be like Die Hard, a lone cop fighting terrorists in a skyscraper, or Jurassic Park, they're cloning dinosaurs, or the ultimate high concept film, Snakes on a Plane, which was from 2006 with Samuel L. Jackson and Saturday Night Live's Kenan Thompson. I mean, all they had to do to pitch the idea was come into an office, sit down, and say, Snakes on a Plane. And the studio was probably like, okay, we're in. You had me at snakes. I mean, we all love a good hook, don't we? Speaking of hooks, you know the gift that keeps on giving? No, it's not herpes. It's Elvis Costello. I mean, the guy has endless amounts of great songs. I haven't done a proper, full-blown, True Detective-style rabbit hole investigation into all of his music. I mean, he has a ton. But I've done my fair share of digging. And I recently heard again the song Riot Act from the 1980 album Get Happy by Elvis Costello and the Attractions. Holy shit, 1980. But man, it's great. The chorus is a killer. So we will close with a little bit of that song. Until next week, stay out of the gorge. When the heat gets subtropical and the talk gets so topical, Riot Act. You can read me the Riot Act. You can make me a matter of fact. Or a villain in a million. A slip of the tongue is gonna keep me civilian. Riot Act. You can read me the Riot Act. You can read me the Riot Act.